It was 1977, when the world became alive. A sci-fi movie so profound. Then 20 long years later, it all became a lie, when they changed it all around. Han stepped on Jabba's tail, the old versions are for sale. I don't know which is worse. They put in all that CGI, and I just wanted to die when I saw Greedo shoot first. That's why we say George Lucas raped our childhood. George Lucas raped our childhood. George Lucas raped our childhood. George Lucas raped our childhood.
And he did.
He raped mine. How about you?
Yeah, me too.
I'm still butthurt over it.
Yeah. And then he had the audacity of coming out with Jar Jar Binks.
Misa, Misa, hate Misa Jar Jar.
Yeah, not only do I hate Jar Jar, but you can't look at Jar Jar as a character. And since
he's not a character.
When you're talking about Star Wars, okay, throughout the entire run of it, you're talking about archetypes. Luke is an archetype. Han is your standard rogue archetype. You've got all of these archetypes, and then you throw Jar Jar into the mix, and if you're supposed to believe that we're still dealing with character archetypes here, what is he?
I think he's a minstrel show archetype.
I think so.
I mean, I'm not trying to be racist about it. He is an old minstrel show archetype.
And
that's not even bringing up the racism of the Trade Federation leaders with their dubbing not matching their lips, and they all talk in broken English.
Yes.
Like this with obvious Asian accent.
Yes.
And it's like, Jesus Christ, Lucas was so racist in those prequels.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I mean, I remember my grandfather, and my grandfather had, I mean, he wasn't a member of, well, yes, he was.
Member of the Klan?
He was a member of the Klan, but coming from his time, if you were white and not a member of the Klan, there were problems, but that's a whole other show. But nonetheless,
Porch monkey for life. I'm taking it back.
There you go. I don't know what happened because, yeah, I mean, Lucas was, he was no longer dealing with archetypes. He was dealing with stereotypes at that point.
Well, and if you ever watch any of the behind the scenes on some of the prequels, it's clear Lucas and his crew are on two separate pages. They are trying to make two separate movies.
How
per
so?
Movie. Lucas is telling him, well, let's do all this and this and this, and his crew just kind of stands back, you know, befuddled, like, okay, you're the boss. You know, I mean, you honestly get these looks of the crew constantly second-guessing him, going, really? Is that what you want to do?
Yeah,
but it's all like they're so afraid to stand up to him and go, George, this is stupid.
From what I've heard about his management style, I can't really blame them. And I know we're 3 minutes in or so, and welcome to Lost in the Static, everybody. I'm Scott.
I'm actually surprised you didn't play the open.
It's Josh. We had George Lucas rape my childhood, and last week when I played the open, you were like, I thought we were just going right into the show. So I figured we'd compromise.
You're being inconsistent.
And this week we'd go, right, do you want me to play the open?
No, but you and I are already fighting about where we're putting the promo.
This is true. Speaking of which...
Oh, you're actually going to let me do it at the beginning of the show this time?
If I want good porn, where can I go?
AdamandEve.com.
What if I want maybe a male masturbator, a butt plug, a vibrator?
AdamandEve.com.
Maybe some sexy lingerie.
I hope it's for Dawn and not you.
You never know. You
never know with you.
That's true.
AdamandEve.com. If you use the promo code STATIC, you'll get 50% off a single item, free shipping, 3 free porn DVDs, and a special gift that even we don't know what the fuck is because it's a randomized special gift.
Yep, so, and if you use that promo code and you get the special gift,
email us and tell
us
what the hell
it was. Yeah, let us know what
you got. Even before we were contracted with them,
mm-hmm.
I've ordered, and the special gift was deep throat gel.
I made an order there a while back, and I got a little cock ring with a vibrator attached to it. That was my special gift.
See, so it's random. You don't get the same thing. So if you're in a relationship, get something for your partner. If you're not in a relationship, get a fleshlight or a butt plug. You know, have a little bit of fun with yourself.
But again, 50% off one item.
Right.
3 free adult DVDs. Again, if you're single, perfect. You're getting 3 free porno movies right there.
Or you get a sex toy, and then you get some movies to watch while you're using the sex toy.
There you go.
And you get the special item and free shipping in the U.S. It's, you can't lose.
They have stuff for men, stuff for women, stuff for men who like women, stuff for women who like men, stuff for women who like women, stuff for men who like men, and...
probably Herms, too.
I believe they have some inflatable farm animals.
That's creepy.
I'll have to check.
I don't want you to.
I'll do it now.
But use the promo... stop it.
I'm doing it now.
Use the promo code STATIC. All right, now let's get back to Star Wars.
But I haven't...
I know you haven't, because I'm trying to avoid you actually going to check for inflatable farm animals at adamandeve.com.
All right.
So... how did you see Phantom Menace for the first time?
In the theater.
Okay, so you blew money on that train wreck.
I blew money on that train wreck because I went with a bunch of friends to the theater to watch this amazing prequel that we were excited.
Okay,
and
well, actually,
we camped overnight.
See, before we get into that, let's back up and give some people who don't know some of the background on how we got to this point. Okay?
Okay.
Back after he made Jedi, Lucas outright said...
that's it. That's the end.
No, he didn't. He planned the prequels. He always said he wanted to make those first three. Okay. But he said, the technology does not exist yet to allow me to do my own vision. I'm kind of on board with him at this point still.
I can see that.
And then so we had to wait till 1999 to get it.
Right.
And apparently... technology was not the only thing he was missing. He also somehow in that time had lost his ability to write, his ability to direct, his ability to produce, and his ability to hold a rational thought.
Okay.
In those interim years. Because there was nothing good about The Phantom Menace. Nothing. Not one frame of that was a good movie. And it was clear when he wrote those, and I'm going to assume that there was an actual script that they were working off of and not making it up as they go along, which is the way it seems. He didn't even bother to watch the original three movies again.
There are so
many continuity problems. Obi-Wan Kenobi, I was trained in the ways of the Force by Master Yoda. Oh, except for the fact that this movie now says you were trained by Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yep.
And Yoda basically doesn't, you know, only has a couple of lines of dialogue with you, so... yeah, that's a continuity.
Yep.
When I met your father, he was an ace fighter pilot for the Rebellion.
No.
Okay, first, the Rebellion didn't exist yet. He was not an ace fighter pilot, and he didn't meet the father until he was a little kid.
Right.
Then you've got the whole Anakin built C-3PO?
Yeah.
What a... Chewbacca knows Yoda?
Yeah.
What? Although that wasn't until 3, but yeah, you know, but
we'll get there.
Chewbacca knows Yoda? Boba Fett is some key character in the entire trilogy? Or in the entire quadrilogy, whatever it is?
Sextilogy.
Is it Sextilogy? Boba Fett's this integral character, and there's all these Jedis that have huge, huge parts that are never mentioned once in the other, you know, that these characters knew and interacted with, and these two trilogies don't match. They don't link up. Why in the past, i.e. the episodes 1 through 3, do they have more advanced technology than they do in the future?
I don't know.
Because he could CGI in more technology. That's why.
Yeah.
You know, why are the stormtroopers clearly not clones? In the original, they all act differently. They have different voices. And then all of a sudden, no, they're all clones. They all sound and look exactly the same. They all move exactly the same. What? Did you see my anger rising when I try and rationalize these two trilogies together, don't you?
Yes.
They don't fit. The prequels are fucking terrible. Lucas could have taken a weekend to watch the original three before writing the first one. I don't know why he couldn't do that.
There's all of that.
Okay, I'm calm now.
Okay. So my friends and I, we gather together. We stay overnight at the theater with about 200 other complete and total
nerds. Sorry, I'm getting something to drink. I'm not by my mic.
Yeah, so total Star Wars nerds. And we are excited as all get out. I mean, this is going to be the origin story of the father of Luke Skywalker.
I'll get to that bullshit in a minute.
And... we're just beside ourselves with happy. We go in.
Until you get your seats.
Yeah, we go into the midnight theater showing.
I saw that at a midnight screening, too, although I didn't have to wait in line. Sturgeon Bay doesn't really have that kind of problem.
Evansville did. And we go in and we watch this movie.
I'm sorry.
And I don't think any of us said a word to one another.
I think you all kind of, I think you were all kind of in shock, like a rape victim.
Coming out of the theater, we were completely silent. On the drive home, we were completely silent. Not a word for at least a day.
Do you know why that was? Because, like we talked about last week, George Lucas didn't make this movie for you. He made it for your children.
The most appalling thing, I think, when it comes to that trilogy, is midichlorians.
Yeah, that's something I forgot in my little rant there.
What the fuck is the force? The force. It's a mysterious force that's all around you. It's a religion.
It was
a following.
Supposed to be like a god type.
Yes,
thing.
It was supposed to be a religion. In the original trilogy, it's a very Eastern religious view. Ki or chi or however they're saying it this week.
At least it's not chutzpah, like Michelle Bachmann likes to say.
Chutzpah is what it's supposed
to be. Right, but she thinks it's pronounced chutzpah.
Right. But it was a view of ki or chi or a universal energy that can be manipulated and used. See Last Airbender, the anime,
not the Shyamalan movie.
Yeah, not that horrible piece of shit. That's another one that just shit all over continuity. But nonetheless, and then suddenly come movie number one, it's a genetic defect.
Which doesn't even make sense on an even pseudoscience level.
Not at all. It's a mutation. What the fuck? And I think Robot Chicken summed it up nicely in one of their Star Wars skits when Darth Vader, it's that... The climactic scene.
What the hell is an aluminum falcon?
No, it's the climactic scene in Empire Strikes Back. Darth Vader is looking. He says, "Luke, I am your father." And he says, "No, that's impossible. And I built C-3PO and R2-D2.
Oh, yeah. And then Lucas is smoking a cigarette. And then he's like, "Look, if you're not even going to take this seriously, I'm out of here."
Exactly. You know, and he's just like, "Look, that's highly unlikely." And then he explains midichlorians to him. And he goes, "Look, if you're not going to take this seriously, and he's off."
He's like, "I'm just leaving." Yeah, I remember that. That was actually funny.
Exactly. And I think that's how we all felt. Just like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
Well, and as we discussed earlier, was there no one on his crew that just kind of said, "George, we need to have a talk."
Exactly. George, you're a little racist here. You've got your mammy character in Jar Jar, and don't tell me that that's a Gungan thing, because I saw the other Gungans. Yeah, they ain't real smart, but they also...
They didn't act...
Yeah, I
don't want to use this term, but they didn't act black.
They didn't... Well, and not just... They didn't act like old minstrel shows, which mostly were white.
They didn't act Song of the South.
But,
they didn't act Song of the South.
Exactly. And again, you've got your senators, which were clearly Asian. And it's like, dude, what the fuck?
Were you mad that the movie didn't perform as well in Asia as you thought it would or something?
You know, the other thing that gets me is... I still can't quite get the timeline. Since we are talking about the first episodes 1, 2, and 3, you've got episode 1 with, what was his name, Haley Joel Osment, the kid.
Jake Lloyd.
Jake Lloyd, that's what I meant to say. I guess Haley Joel Osment would have been old. I'm thinking Sixth Sense, all right. Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway.
You should see the look I'm giving him right now.
Yeah,
really,
I know.
I can't tell if he's serious or not.
So you have Jake Lloyd, who is...
A horrendous actor.
10?
Yes, I think he was 10.
In the movie. And then we meet Amidala and Padme, and they're clearly 20s.
Yeah, we're talking a little bit of a pedophilic relationship here, for one thing.
And in that movie, Padme and Amidala had a very motherly love for the kid, for Jake Lloyd.
Which made it creep.
For Anakin. Which, no, it didn't. It wasn't. Remember, 2 wasn't out yet. It didn't make it too creepy initially. But it was a very motherly love, and it was understandable in the context of that single film.
It kind of had that whole Luke kissing Leia thing without knowing their brother sister really kind of dumb shit.
And then all of a sudden, part two comes out. And by the way, I am intentionally skipping Pod Race.
It just went on and on and on.
So two comes out, and suddenly this 10-year-old boy has aged 10 years. Padme and Amidala, not a fucking day.
Nope.
Not a day. And I don't care.
Good God, did he get emo.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought Luke was whiny. And don't get me wrong, Luke was whiny. He was a whiny little shit. But now I know where he gets it from.
But, okay, let's go back to something you alluded to. Let's go back to Darth Vader slash Anakin, okay?
Okay.
In the original trilogy, episodes 4 through 6, Darth Vader was this dark character that you got little bits of information. How he got corrupted by the dark side, how he fell, how he destroyed the other Jedi, etc., etc. That was very interesting. Actually seeing all that, seeing not only two horridly bad actors play the character,
right,
but see his fall being done so badly, so poorly written, so poorly acted, with such a ridiculously bland emotional arc.
Right.
It destroyed what the character in the later three movies was.
Right.
I literally cannot look at the cool Darth Vader again without thinking, no!
As a story outline, too, it really is, just as a story outline, it's great. You have a man who is torn between loving a woman or following
God.
Who
he has zero chemistry with.
Well, I'm just talking about the story arc. I'm not talking about the actors. I'm not talking about how it was written.
Okay.
I'm just talking about the basic story outline. It's beautiful. It's this torn character, torn between the emotion of love and the logical following of his religion.
His religion, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. It's that classic priest story that you always get of the man who's gone through seminary.
Those two words mean totally different things, man.
Totally different. Maybe he went through a cemetery at seminary, but he's been through seminary and he's ready and he knows that God is calling him, and suddenly here's this temptation, and it's a beautiful story and it's been done well thousands of times.
But not here.
How the fuck did Lucas fuck up that story?
Because he's not a good writer. Remember what I said last week about how he was not even trying to be a filmmaker? He wasn't. He wasn't trying in this either. He wasn't trying in these movies at all. This was all about getting the marketing to Taco Bell and to Pepsi and to the movie theaters and to Pizza Hut and getting the toys in the stores and getting the pajamas on the kids. It was all about marketing. He didn't give a shit about the movie.
And I was especially pissed because when I went into episode one, and even when I did not see two or three in the theater.
I did, because how can I make fun of them if I don't see them?
Yeah, well, I didn't see them in the theater. I saw them.
You got to remember, I'm an internet critic, so I needed to see them.
I know. But I wanted to care about Anakin. I was curious as fuck about this story.
All right, let me ask you a question. If the role had been written exactly the same, same lines of dialogue, exact same movie, except with a really talented actor in the role of Anakin, would that have changed it for you?
Not at all. Not at all.
And see, that says what the main problem on the movie is.
Writing.
That it's what came before those cameras started rolling murdered that movie right off the bat.
A well-written movie can be hurt by a bad actor, but a well-written script can't be destroyed by a bad actor.
And trust me, Tom Cruise has tried.
And a good actor can elevate a bad script. They may not be able to save it completely, but they can elevate it a little bit.
Oh, absolutely.
Hayden Christensen did not. Natalie Portman, I don't know what happened to her. She was normally...
Well, do you know why those two had such terrible chemistry?
Why?
In 2 and 3? Most of their love scenes, if they were not physically touching, they were not in the same room together while shooting them.
Oh, really?
He literally would have Hayden, if you look at some of the behind the scenes, he'd have like Hayden Christensen professing his love to a tennis ball on a stick. And then they would shoot her scene and then insert it, and it would be one complete scene.
You know, knowing
so
that.
Literally, that's part of it is because Hayden Christensen can't act to save his life. I refuse to listen to anybody that says he is good in anything because he's terrible.
I haven't seen him good in anything.
He is Mannequin Skywalker all the way through.
Yeah.
But that's part of the reason I think why Natalie Portman's performance felt so hollow. She had no, I mean, she literally was acting to a tennis ball on a stick.
Yeah.
How do you act with that and have chemistry?
It would take, and I'm not saying it can't be done because it might be able to be done, but it would take an actor of Laurence Olivier's caliber or Orson Welles caliber, or classic Orson Welles, not.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I prefer fat, bad Orson Welles, just that's a personal preference.
But, you know, it would take an actor of that caliber to emote to a tennis ball like that. Would you stop farting with your mic?
Sorry. Well, it goes back to, I'm not going to sidetrack too much, this old 1993 TV series called Space Rangers. At one point, what's called a banshee, it's basically like a space gargoyle, is attacking the windshield of this single fighter pilot. And she said what it literally was, she was supposed to be all scared. And what it literally was a Halloween werewolf mask on a stick that they were dangling in front of the thing. And she's like, do you realize how hard it is to act to this? And I'm supposed to be scared for some digital effect you'll add 3 months from now? You can't act to that.
It takes a lot.
I'm just moving my hand. I don't know why it's making a little pop.
But it takes a lot to do that. And it takes a really, really good actor. So, but let's throw the acting aside, because that's what the best people do.
There's one of my favorite all-time actors in episode one, and I didn't even realize it till reading the credits.
Who's that?
Brian Blessed.
He's in episode one?
You might know him as Prince Voltan from...
Yes.
He is the Gungan leader, the...
Really?
That's Brian Blessed.
See, and I remember Brian Blessed from the old Blackadder days.
Yeah, so
when he played, and he was, and
I didn't,
Flash
Gordon, he was so lost in the CGI of that character, I couldn't even tell his voice.
No,
until I saw the credits. Now I go back and I can go, okay, I can hear twinges of Brian Blessed. Mm. You know, I half expected him to go, "Solo's alive," or something like that. You know,
but I just. And to me, there was this huge switch between the trilogies where the new ones, the prequels, I think you can obviously tell that it was not written for adults. And the other reason for that is go back to episode one, watch it, and look for all of the burp and fart jokes.
And the stepping in the duty and and all the slapstick with Jar Jar, like when he's in the robot... hut on Tatooine and all that.
Yes, exactly.
And also, this goes more towards 2 and 3, okay? But there was a huge influence of video game culture.
Yes.
I mean, literally, that one scene where she's in that robot factory in 2, and she's running and timing herself, I honestly looked down at my hands and said, why don't I have an Xbox controller in my hand? Because this is a fucking video game!
I looked at it, and the only thing that was going through my mind was the theme to Mario.
Yeah, it's like, this is a video game. You know, and then you've got Yoda jumping around like a rat on crack, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, that scene was interesting, and had they played the Force correctly, I could see it. Had they done it a little bit differently, I could see it working.
And also, George Lucas has this weird thing, more in the prequels than in the original trilogy. Why does he name the characters such stupid names?
I don't know.
Everybody has a name that sounds like something that was made up by a 10-year-old who's drunk.
Jar Jar.
Dooku.
Dooku.
Sounds like poopy.
Yeah.
You know, all these characters, you just look at them and you go, this is dumb.
The one saving grace.
Qui-Gon? Huh?
Qui-Gon. The one saving grace. Mace Windu.
No, I won't even give you that.
Really?
Because, well, first of all, He doesn't do anything in any of the movies. He finally starts to do something and gets pushed out of a fucking window.
Yep.
The character was totally pointless. You could have edited out every single scene Samuel L. Jackson was in, and it would not have changed one fucking thing.
Yes, it would.
Oh, and also, Samuel L. Jackson, fuck you for Return of the Jedi, you son of a bitch. The DVDs have a scene with Mace Windu added to the end of Return of the Jedi.
Really?
To the beginning. He's in one of the original trilogy movies.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's in Star Wars or something. It's a flashback, and it pissed me off.
I haven't seen that.
Isn't Mace Windu appears in one of them? He's one of the apparitions.
Oh.
And it's just like, you know what? Fuck you, Samuel. You clearly don't care about being an actor either.
You know what? I don't think Samuel L. Jackson had dick to say about that. I don't think that was his decision.
Also, part of this is to the 1996 re-release, but also the newest trilogy, the lack of respect for actors. Like the original actor that played Anakin, totally replaced. Every single scene is now Hayden Christensen. The original actor that played the Emperor, every single scene, it's the new actor's face sit on his. Now with the thing with Yoda being replaced with CGI, the rape of Frank Oz is now complete.
Yep.
Lucas has no respect for the original actors that did these roles.
Nope.
It's, I can replace you with a cartoon at any time.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, that pisses me off.
That I can understand.
That really, really pisses me off.
But back to the new trilogy. I don't know.
Well, and okay, you brought up the pod race earlier. Okay.
Yeah.
The pod race literally was a 7-minute commercial for the pod race video game that was out at the same time. Yeah. It was, did you think this was cool? Now you can do this yourself on your PlayStation. That thing was a fucking commercial.
Yeah, and it was really, that entire scene did not forward the story at all.
And it was like 7-8 minutes long.
It was a nice little action sequence.
No, I don't even think it was. It was boring, for one thing. And two, it was confusing because he shot everything in tight shots like it was supposed to be from the perspective of the car. If I can't see the track, how am I supposed to get excited just seeing him move around rocks?
Yeah, that's true.
It's fucking boring. It's badly shot. That's part of my problem with that shit. The prequels are just terrible. They are just terrible. Look at in episode 3, the final fight between Obi-Wan and Anakin.
It's so anticlimactic.
Well, and it just goes on.
Yeah.
And on.
Yeah.
And on. Every time you think, okay, they're finally... oh, Christ, they find another location. Now they're going to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And see, okay, here's a problem I've always had. This even goes back to the originals in a lightsaber fight. The same thing happens to pirate movies, and I'm talking old style as well as new. Pirate movies, Knights of the Round Table movies. You have people clanging swords together. Do you know why they used to clang swords together?
Why is that?
To try and block the other person from stabbing you. Go back and look at the sword fights in the new trilogy. They look like people that are trying to hit each other's lightsaber.
Yeah.
They don't look like they're trying to hit the other person and the victim of that strike using his sword to block it. Actually, that's what a sword fight is. Let's clang our swords together.
I do have one question. And this is one that's always plagued me, and I know that it's going to drill up some trolls. But when... in the original trilogy, when Obi-Wan was killed by...
on the Death Star.
On the Death Star. He was killed by Vader.
If you strike me down, you'll only become stronger.
And he struck him down, and his whole body just fucking disappeared.
Bloop.
And then he went and kind of stepped on the cloak, and that was that.
I would guess it was like transubstantiation or something.
But when we see, for instance, Darth Maul, another pointless character that... pissed me off. We see, you know, legs get cut off or something like that.
He gets cut in half.
It makes perfect sense because it immediately cauterizes the wound, which is what a lightsaber would do. What happened? What?
Maybe the dark side can't transubstantiate and only the good side can. I don't know.
Yeah, but we see good characters, you know, even in the original Star Wars, he cuts off that guy's arm at Mos Eisley, and it doesn't cauterize that wound because he bleeds. So, okay, weird there. But why didn't that guy just go bleh and disappear.
Well, except maybe because Obi-Wan was a Jedi. Well, see, Obi-Wan's character is another one that I thought was raped by having all that backstory given. To me, the Obi-Wan in A New Hope was a very interesting character. Like this world-weary, burnt-out man. Let's leave the plot hole aside. They're trying to kill me, so I'm not even going to change my name, and I'm going to live on the home planet of the guy trying to kill me, you know, right down the street from his relatives. Mm-hmm. Just, it's not the smartest way to hide out, you know?
Well, part of that can be marked up as...
They hadn't thought that far ahead
yet. Maybe he wanted to keep an eye on Luke.
No, it came more to they hadn't written that whole being hunted thing yet. But to me, he was a far more interesting character as an old man than that fucking whiny, yes, Mesta, no, Mesta bullshit that we had in the original trilogy. And going back to sort of Hayden Christensen's acting and just the horrendous dialogue, the part where, I'm sorry, Master, I forgot you don't like flying.
Oh, God.
And
yeah.
I'm not downplaying that delivery. That's how he says it.
Yep.
Hayden Christensen cannot deliver a goddamn line of dialogue.
One of my favorite lines and favorite lines to laugh at, I believe this was in part two or three, one of those two.
Death Sticks?
No, not Death Sticks. It's the one when he and Padme...
are rolling around in their, like, daisies and
they
shit.
They finally profess their, you know... You only think I'm beautiful because you love me. No, you're beautiful because I love you.
It's such horrible, pretentious dialogue.
You only love me because I'm beautiful. You stuck up bitch. No, you're beautiful because I love you. You stuck up son of a bitch. it's
a Harlequin romance novel would have been embarrassed to have included a line of dialogue like that.
And
with anything with Fabio on the cover wouldn't even have dialogue that bad.
Exactly. You know. I can't believe it's not Luke.
Well, and then also Padme dying. She just gives up. And then the little robot comes out. She just gave up her will to live.
I know.
What the fuck? You couldn't even just have her die from like internal bleeding or something?
Well, let's throw that aside. Okay. Mothers, whenever they see their children in danger, get feats of superhuman strength. They live through these horrible, horrible accidents and these traumatic things. And here is Padme having
supposedly twins. Loving her children.
Loving her children, because all mothers do, at least at first. And she's having twins. And she's just like, oh, two more mouths. Oh, fuck it. I'm dead. I are dead.
Well, and then there's also the other continuity thing. Okay. You've got the stupid thing where Anakin builds 3PO, right?
Oh, God. Yeah.
And then, of course, he obviously knew R2.
Yep.
And he knew Kenobi and all that.
Oh, yeah.
So why is Kenobi the only person he recognizes? You know, why in the original trilogy does he not recognize any of these robots? And they try and give that half-assed reason why the robots don't recognize him, have their memories
memory
wiped.
Yeah.
Yet they continue to reference previous things. So what, you just wiped that one? Let's just wipe everything that has to do with Anakin, but leave everything else in their fucking memories? That is such a horrendously dumb way to try and work around that plot hole. It actually creates a bigger plot hole than the one you were trying to fill.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and then all these characters, there's what, a dozen characters that the entire fate of the universe relied on every time the fate of the universe came up? It was all basically this one family or extended family? Huh?
I was more upset than anything else with Vader's arc. And that is
because Vader. He was fucking Anakin.
I realize that, but you have to understand that in the original trilogy, Vader is this giant, cold-hearted stone
who attempts to get redemption at the end.
And that was the redeeming bit of his character. This story arc was his fall. And we were supposed to start with this character that we loved and that had purity in his heart.
We were supposed to sympathize with his fall.
Exactly. We were supposed to sympathize. And instead, we just end up with this whiny, emo little fuck that nobody cares about, that is written horribly, that is acted horribly, and he's just followed everywhere he goes, again, by burp and fart and duty jokes.
Well, and let's go back to one of the most famously parodied scenes from the new trilogy. No!
Yes.
I mean, did Lucas honestly think people would take... Because, I mean, he says in some of the documentary stuff and in interviews, that was supposed to be a heavy gravity of a scene. It was embarrassingly... Yes. It's so not only badly done, it's just embarrassing. You laugh at that, and then you go, I don't think I was supposed to laugh at that.
Yeah, I know. It hurts. It hurts. And because I really... There was part of me that even prior to his redemption at the end, there was part of me that loved
sort of,
that.
It sort of ruined the character in the good movies, didn't
it? Yeah, you loved that cold-hearted son of a bitch who had no, he didn't care. And then you get, no.
And him stomping around like Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah, and it's just like, what happened? What the fuck happened?
Yeah,
it hurts. It hurts.
And see, Lucas really thought he was making great movies. If you look at interviews with him, he thought these were great films and that Star Wars fans would love them. And then he seems to be totally unwilling to accept the fact that these are really fucking bad movies.
And you look at Dooku, played by one of
Christopher fucking Lee,
one of my favorite actors of all time. I love Christopher Lee, and he can take a badly written part and elevate it to an art form.
He played a Latino supervillain in Captain America 2.
I realize that, but I'm thinking more along the lines of original Wicker Man, Christopher Lee.
No, I'm trying to compliment him. He played a Latino. He's a British. White as a ghost actor who played a Latino supervillain, and you know what? You kind of bought it because he's that good of an actor.
Exactly.
I wasn't saying that as an insult,
okay.
Scott.
I understand. I misunderstood you. Okay, I got it now. So anyway, he elevates these badly written parts, and Dooku, he tried, and I saw him trying. I really did, and I was like, oh, it just hurts to hear the dialogue that he delivers. And to realize that he really is a pointless character.
Well, and you also... Okay, let's go back to Flash Gordon for a second. You know how Timothy Dalton's the only actor in that movie that is taking it seriously?
Yes.
Christopher Lee seems to be the only actor in the prequels that thinks he's making a real movie.
I agree.
Because the other actors, either they seem like they're trying too hard. I'm sorry, Hayden Christensen really does look like he's trying. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he fails as miserably as he does really cements how pathetic of an actor he is. Because I honestly do think he's trying his best.
What else is he in?
Jumper. He was in that. The one with Samuel L. Jackson where the guy can teleport.
Yeah,
he was in like House of Sand and Fog or something. Okay. He was in a couple of dramas. I see him in a couple of Lifetime TV movies. He's about to ruin one of my favorite novels of all time, Neuromancer. Taking over that, the William Gibson. Yeah, he's about to star in that, so he's about to ruin that for me.
Yeah.
If I had a choice, I'd take Keanu over him.
You know what? I saw Jumper.
It's bad.
Yeah, it is.
And he's bad. I mean, I've never seen that guy act. He's been in a ton of movies, and they might credit him as a cast member, but they'll never credit him as an actor.
No, he's just not a good actor.
One funny thing about Jake Lloyd, though, he's on record that he thinks Star Wars ruined his life.
Really?
Being in that, it was pretty much the only movie he did.
Right.
And I think he's Australian, something like that, or he's going to college in Australia something like that.
Okay.
I don't know if he's Australian or that's where
he
lives now.
He's just going there. Yeah.
He said, literally, it made it difficult for him to get a date. People, you know, girls would be like, you know, no, you ruined my favorite trilogy. Get away from me. You know, he said literally that ruined his life. It doesn't matter. He applies for a job, just a regular job, because he doesn't want to be an actor. And they're like, oh, you ruined one of my favorite movies. Get out.
Wow.
You know, he said literally that movie made him a laughingstock. That movie ruined his life, and he wishes in retrospect he had never taken that role.
Yeah, I can understand that.
You know, I think that's sort of funny and kind of sad at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I hate to say it, but poor Jake Lloyd.
Yeah.
You know, and then you've got, let's go back to Jar Jar. Jar Jar was something Lucas was immovable on for a while. He actually was lashing out at fans who didn't like Jar Jar because Jar Jar was supposed to have a bigger role in episodes 2 and 3. Until basically the Star Wars nation said, if Jar Jar has one goddamn line of dialogue, I don't care how much we are willing to suck your dick, we will not pay for another movie with Jar Jar. And so Lucas basically begrudgingly took Jar Jar and gave him non-speaking or one or two line roles in those other two movies.
However, he did do
That's the problem. He loves that character.
And
that should say something right there. He thinks Jar Jar is a great character and should be a main character.
The one good thing he did was he made Jar Jar responsible for the creation of the Empire.
Sort of. But no, that's not good. I won't give you that. I can't. I won't.
Okay.
You know, and then part of Lucas's problem is his love of CG. Look at the opening shot, I think it's of episode 3, where there is not 1 centimeter of frame, when I saw this in the theater, that did not have something going on in it. It is so noisy and so busy, you actually can't tell what you're supposed to be looking at. And do you know why he did that?
Why?
Because he could.
You know,
it didn't further anything. It just, I could.
The battle scenes in episode 2.
Yeah.
The battle scenes in episode 2, I can barely follow.
There's too much going on.
Mm-hmm.
And just, we can, so let's do it. It's kind of like Michael Bay with the Transformers. They've got so many moving parts, you actually lose what's actually supposed to be moving.
Yeah, I hear 3 is better. I haven't seen it yet.
No, it's not. It's actually worse than 2. I actually would rather sit through 2 again, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's saying something.
Wrecking balls and all?
Wrecking ball testicles and all.
Yes.
Yes. But at least John Turturro didn't get peed on in that one.
Really?
He got peed on in the first one by Bumblebee.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, it hurts. It hurts because I again, as a story outline, the prequels, again, throw out the actors, throw out the CG.
Throw
out the actual script and just look at the outline. And there is a beautiful operatic script right there.
A real writer could have probably saved that.
Oh,
but Lucas is so egotistical that he still thinks he is a good writer. He thinks he is a good filmmaker. And his crew is all so scared to tell him, George, you're not a good writer. You're not a good filmmaker. You know, get Spielberg to direct one of these things because he actually knows how to direct a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Even though there's plenty of movies I don't like of Spielberg's, I will never deny that he is a good director.
Sure. And let's also take a moment and look at the technical advances in Skywalker Sound and in ILM that the original trilogy, again, the way that they shot it, it changed movie making on it.
For the better.
For the better on a technical level. It made sound better. It made special effects better. Everything like that. The prequels come out and they are chock full of CG. The sound, there wasn't a whole lot of advancement made. And
It was lazy filmmaking, is the word you're looking for. It's lazy.
Other than kicking it out into I think they used Dolby surround, or THX surround, of course. And we don't see that advancement, and we don't see the work that went into it. So you're right, it was lazy. It was just, blah, here's some toy shit to sell.
Well, okay, this is going back to the original Star Wars, but an interesting bit of trivia, which contrasts with the new trilogy. Do you know that Star Wars was not even given a big advertising push in 77?
Yeah, I was aware of that.
Do you know what movie 20th Century Fox put all their advertising muscle behind?
What the hell was it? I used to know it one time. I can't think of it. What is it?
Damnation Alley.
The what?
Damnation Alley with Jan Michael Vincent and George Peppard and Paul Winfield. Remember with the Roadmaster, that huge truck and whatnot? Let's leave out the fact that it's a horrible adaptation of a pretty good book, okay?
Right, okay.
And that the filmmakers totally missed the point of the Damnation Alley book. That was 20th Century Fox's Golden Boy. Mm-hmm. Star Wars was just this other film we had coming out.
It was a
summer.
Fun little summer film that they were just throwing out.
Right. Now look at, by the time, because in a way that made, and the reason I'm bringing this up, this contrasting, is that made Lucas hungry. He was a hungry filmmaker who needed to have a hit so he could make the next two movies.
Right.
He needed a hit.
Right.
By the time Phantom Menace came out, it was a guaranteed hit no matter what happened.
Yeah.
Which also goes back to the lazy. It was a guaranteed hit. There was no way that movie was going to lose money.
Nope.
And that was the problem.
Yep.
And then, personally, maybe this is because I'm older, but my son is out of agreement, and I remember he's half my age, that the new designs of the new costumes and the hairstyles and the ships,
they didn't fit the
universe. They're ugly. They're ugly, too. They're just ugly.
And they didn't fit the universe.
No. They didn't stylistically contrast how, in 20 years, how that ship... Yeah. That style of you know, Corvette becomes the Lamborghini that we see in,
right,
in A New Hope.
Right.
You know, they don't fit.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And like I said, they're ugly. They're ugly, unappealing new designs.
And I don't know whose idea it was to take an SR-71 and throw chrome on it, which is basically what the Queen's ship was.
One of the things that really bothered me was the hairstyles.
Actually, you know, I saw that ship, the Queen's, the chromed
that
out
silver
ship.
One. Yeah, yeah.
And do you know what I thought of immediately?
Flight of the Navigator.
Yes,
that's exactly
just,
what
I was. Just
it was
like,
Flight
oh
of the Navigator
God.
With wings.
Exactly.
It was the Flight of the Navigator ship with wings.
Well, do you remember in Flight of the Navigator when the ship changed shape?
It's been quite a few years, so I remember the overall Flight of the Navigator movie, but not specific details.
Right. You had the.
Oh, it elongated, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you kind of had the peanut-shaped thing that was slow-moving, and that's what they held on to and everything. And then when it sped up to go through light, it elongated and then sprouted wings. And it immediately...
I wonder if ILM did the special effects for Flight of the Navigator. Because it might be they just used an old design.
It might be.
I mean, there may be... I'll have to look in to see who did the effects for Flight.
Yeah, but I mean, they were just so beautifully alike. It was... frightening. And then that's the thing. That's the other thing that I look at. I look at the A-wing fighter. No, not the A-wing. The hell was it? The A-wing that?
Are you thinking of the one that's got the huge one long wing and then the huge pilot compartment?
No, that's the B-wing. Right, that's the B-wing. The one I'm thinking of was the one that, for warp speed, so to speak, it had that huge ring that it would bolt onto.
That was really stupid.
And then it would go, and then it would unbolt and shoot. That was what was supposed to morph into the A-wing fighter. And
I can't
I'm just
see
like,
it.
What, huh?
I can't see it.
The little yellow ones were supposed to morph into the X-wing fighters. I don't see that at all. I don't see a stylistic similarity at all. The B-wing fighters were nowhere to be seen. The Y-wing fighters were nowhere to be seen in the movie.
And it just, like, okay, I hate to keep harping on this, but then there's also the absolute lack of subtlety.
Yeah.
Like the death sticks thing. Okay, George, I get it. You're against smoking.
Yeah.
Death sticks.
Yeah.
Wow. I've seen more subtlety in a church anti-rock and roll PSA.
I was going to say, I've seen more subtlety in those truth ads.
Yeah, it's like Jesus Christ, Lucas. You know, and then he keeps introducing all these weird pieces of technology that appear in one scene and never appear again and never appear in the movies that are in later continuity.
Exactly.
Why?
I don't know.
Even if only the Empire was controlling them, why would the Empire not have like that little robot that put the spider or worm or something in Amidala's room or whatever that was?
Yeah.
Why did the Empire not have this shit later?
Yeah.
Why does the hologram technology look worse later on than hologram technology earlier?
I don't know.
You know, nothing in these films fit.
And what the fuck happened to Coruscant?
It became all evil?
I mean...
Coruscant actually plays a really large role in those Heir to the Empire novels I told you about.
Yeah, of that I have no doubt. But what the hell happened to it between the two movies? Was it just devastated?
Did the Empire just, like, destroy all the air traffic and all that?
All the air traffic plus, you know, that... the Jedi library, for God's sake. Now, that I can see them destroying, but that much knowledge?
Then, let's real quick, the Emperor, how he becomes the Emperor. He's so clearly evil. How do people in these movies constantly elect the person that's clearly a supervillain? How do they not know this person's a supervillain?
George W. Bush.
I know he was supposed to be a parallel to Bush, but he is so obviously a supervillain, and they keep granting him more power and more authority, and they keep believing his story, despite the evidence to the contrary that he's lying.
Have you paid attention to U.S. politics? We're doing the same thing in real life.
I know, and that's kind of sad, but
that's a whole other show.
We talk about that kind of stuff on What the Fuck?
Yeah.
On Jackalope. That's a totally different show. Literally a totally different show. But it's... Lucas and subtlety don't go together.
No, they go together like Arnold and dramatic roles.
True.
Yeah, or Arnold and comedic roles.
Arnold and serious roles. Well, no, he was pretty good in Conan.
He was good in Conan. You give him the right role, he can do a good job.
I need you to play an emotionless robot.
Perfect. I can do that.
I can do this.
I can do this.
I need you to play an emotionless barbarian.
I can do this.
I need you to play a family man who's lost everything.
Speaking of which, real quick, and I know we're coming up on the end. Have you seen the previews for that new Conan? Is it out now?
I think it's out now. Yeah. It's getting horrible reviews. Everything I've read about it is it's dialogue for 5 minutes, fight for 5 minutes. Dialogue for 5 minutes, fight for 5 minutes. Dialogue for 5 minutes, fight for 5 minutes.
I love
that. That is the entire structure of the movie.
I love the original two Conans. Why?
I don't. Man. I love the original Conan.
I love Conan.
Destroyer's fucking terrible, man.
Oh, it's funny and it's fun in its own way.
No, it isn't. No, it's not. You know, when you try and make Grace Jones act... That's not funny.
I will give you that much. Grace Jones. Yeah, Grace Jones trying to act actually.
And then the horrid
funny,
special effects when he's fighting the mirror demon, you can actually see where the mask is over
I
the
know,
actor.
But that, it's one of those movies that's just fun. Anyway, let's close out the show about Star Wars here, because I was amazed and hurt. Literally hurt. By the prequels, and I was hurt by the re-releases, and I continue to be hurt by Lucas's denial of my nostalgia.
Well, and then it's also one other thing. There's a big difference between what happened in episode 2 and 3 to episodes 5 and 6.
Right.
Let's take the internet out of it real quick, okay?
Okay.
You people out there who didn't live through this, you don't know what a major cliffhanger the end of Empire was.
Huge.
That was huge. And then we had to wait 3 years for resolution. There was nothing that made you die to see that next film in the new trilogy. Mm-hmm. There was nothing. There was none of that. Like I said, keeping the internet and spoilers out of it. There was nothing that had you go, oh my God, I have got to see episode 3 to see how this resolves. Yeah. Where what we did for Jedi was... I can't wait for this. I have to see how they get Han back. I have to see how this turns out. I have to see with Luke knowing that Vader's his father. I have to see with his new hand. I have to know what happened.
Yep.
But again, Empire and Jedi were made by people that were not George Lucas. Right. They were made by filmmakers, by Irwin Kershner and Lawrence Kasdan. They were real filmmakers. You want to know what's fucked up?
What?
Ridley Scott was offered Return of the Jedi.
Oh, I would have loved to have seen a Ridley Scott return.
You know who was else offered Return of the Jedi after Scott turned it down?
Who?
David Lynch. He turned it down to do Dune.
That would have been beautiful.
Now, just chew on that for a minute. What a David Lynch Return of the Jedi would have been like.
David Lynch.
Holy fucking shit, huh?
Listen. David Lynch, if you're listening to this, which you're not, and I know. But Hollywood is remaking everything. It's time to go ahead and remake Star Wars. Fuck it. Why not? I'd love to see a David Lynch sextology. All of them.
No, I want to see David Lynch make a huge dark comedy version of Alf. That would be awesome.
Or Blade Runner. How would you like to see David Lynch do Blade Runner?
Ridley Scott's already doing a prequel to Blade Runner.
You son of a shit.
I'm not joking either.
Oh, God damn it.
So to end out,
right
the
in.
Show,
let us know what you thought.
To end out the show on Scott's utter disappointment.
Why not? Lucas did.
So lostinthestaticshow@gmail.com and go to adamandeve.com. buy a couple of toys, and it'll put a couple of bucks in our pockets.
Yep, use that promo code STATIC. STATIC when you check out. 50% off one item, free shipping within the U.S., 3 free DVDs.
And a special gift.
And a special gift.
Which varies, because Scott and I did not get the same special gift, so there.
Yeah, thank God, because if you and I got the same special gift, that means we would have to share it, and that would suck.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.